everyone. The Bible reading this morning is from Colossians 2, verses 3 to 9. I have to find it. I can see. In him all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are safely kept. If I say so, that no one can fool you by arguments that seem good but are false. Though I am absent from you in my body, my heart is with you, and I am happy to see your good lives and your strong faith in Christ. As you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so continue to live in him. Keep your roots deep in him and have your lives built on him. Be strong in the faith, just as you were taught, and always be thankful. Be sure that no one leads you away with false and empty teaching that is only human, which comes from the ruling spirits of this world and not from Christ. All of God lives in Christ. All of God lives in Christ fully, even when Christ was on earth.
Thank you, Margaret. As I said earlier, we have a guest speaker with us this morning, Daniel Gandapu from India, and he's going to come to speak to us now. Would you welcome Daniel to the front? Welcome, mate. Daniel spoke to our men at our men's breakfast yesterday, and it was a privilege to hear from him and just shoot the breeze, have a bit of a chat with him, and hear about his story. But for those who don't know, Daniel has spoken here before, and many of you would remember Daniel. For those who maybe are new, can you tell us a bit about where you're from and your role at the church that you pastor at?
Yeah, I'm from the city called Vizag. It's a southeast. I'll show you the map later. And yeah, after graduating from Malling College in 2013, I went back to India pastoring a church. My parents planted the church. It started with four families in our living room, and it started to grow, and now it's grown to four locations. Five locations where we run church today. So after my training, I went back. I'm now overseeing the ministry there.
And you mentioned what you do on a Sunday morning is vastly different to what I would experience as a pastor. Can you let us know a bit about what you or your responsibilities are on a Sunday morning usually?
Like we wake up at 4 or 5. Our first service is at 7 o'clock in the morning, 7 to 9. And then we finish that service and go and run another service at 11:30. We take a bus, which takes us there in 2 hours. And we come back and do an evening service at 5 o'clock. That's our Sunday. And my mom and dad, they are still alongside with us in ministry. They do the same. They go to one service at 7 in the morning. And another one at 10. So that's how we cover all the five locations.
Amazing commitment, isn't it? I'll say yesterday, it's like me preaching here and then driving to Newcastle for 2 hours to preach up there. It's amazing. And just finally, mate, before you speak to us, you're a family man. You've got a wife and children. Can you tell us a bit about them?
Yeah. I'll show you their photo as well. Yay. Yeah, Divya and Harmony. They were here 2 years ago. It's good that you met her and... she sends greetings to everyone. She says hello. So I will pass that on to you.
Thanks, man. I'm going to pray for Daniel now as he comes to us. And, yeah, look forward to hearing from him. Well, Father God, again, we humble ourselves before you now. We thank you for your servant, Daniel. We thank you for where you brought him. And thank you for bringing him to us this morning. Father, as he comes to speak to us, we pray and believe that you have a message for each and every one of us here this morning, individually, but also collectively as a church. And Father, as we hear him speak, I pray that you would bestow upon him the gifts required to teach, proclaim your message of freedom and truth. And Father God, as he does speak, I pray that it would resonate with us as a church as we seek to continue to move forward together by faith with purpose for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for that. And more photos. That's my wife and my daughter. If you see the next one. the map where Visakhapatnam is. In short, we call it Vizag. So that's where we are located on the map. That's where we are working. And next slide, please. I want to show you some experiences from India before I go into the message. People in India are neglected, and the cows are looked after well in India. That's our Prime Minister of India is feeding a cow. And the next picture, please. I was sharing about this recently yesterday at the men's breakfast. India, if they don't have rains for many seasons, they don't pray like us. They get two frogs and marry them because the frog is the goddess of rain. And it's also the goddess of fertility. They wear some rings on their legs and their hands, which is a symbol of frog on them. So it's a fertility god. Recently, I've been studying that. And I found some links with the Egyptian god, the frog which used to live in the Nile River. And it is one of the plagues which God has sent on the people of Egypt. So I was studying that recently. And the next slide, please. There have been a lot of torture and racism and violence against Christianity. So that's been recent protest by all the Catholics. They join in with the Christians and they're protesting that. And next slide, please. And recently there were big floods in Kerala. And it is one of the BJP MLA, that's the ruling party now. He said Kerala floods are due to slaughtering of cows because they eat beef. That's the God's judgment on them. So that's the kind of mentality people are having. Instead of helping them, they blame that it is what they do. That's what it caused them to do. And the next slide, please. Yeah, recently this has shocked our culture. These two guys, they got married. And the boy is from a lower caste. And the girl's testimony is her father has ordered the murder of the husband. So the caste-based violence is growing a lot in India. And next one, please. So we want you to pray for us, and I prepared some cards. If you want something to remind you to pray for us, you can collect a card from me after the service. And yeah, that's our church. We're fortunate to have a very good church. And this is a photo taken recently at our youth gathering. August 1st Sunday, it's Friendship Day. So I asked our young people, can we celebrate Friendship Day in the church? Can each of you bring your friends? So they bought for 5 friends each. We packed the whole church with young people. We got a guest speaker to come and preach. And he preached on the qualities of a good friend and how they can be found only in Christ. So it's been a very good night. Next slide, please. Yeah, those are our young people. I am very happy about them. They are the ones who are close to my heart. I invest into them a lot. I want you to pray for our young people too. Thank you for that. And as we go into the Word, I would like you to open to the book of Colossians. Recently, there have been a pastor's gathering in Visakhapatnam, in Vizag. They put a title called Great Pastor's Gathering. And it's been an offense for many pastors, and I'm offended because I'm not invited to that, because I'm not great. If you see who are invited to that Great Pastor's Gathering, or who are involved on the stage doing things, they counted somehow that they are great because they have a big church. Or they have a famous pastor. They're big in size, big in, when it comes to financial background, they're big. So they have a big building. So sometimes we calculate church growth or the healthiness of a church based on what we have. Whether the church have a building or not, whether it's got good music or not, whether it's got enough members or not, how the members are there, are they in good position or not. Many material come across our desks every day, and we've been watching many things on YouTube as well. Some churches, they're proud of their stained glass windows. Recently, I met a lady. She goes all the way to the city because she likes to sit in stained glass window church. Some people are fond about music. They like the music. Some churches are feeling proud because they got rid of their pipe organ and they got the contemporary music in drum kit. Some people, some churches are proud that they got addiction-busting classes. They're able to do this, they're able to do that. But today's my passage, what I chose is, it's in three categories, three halves. The first thing, we don't need anything else, we just need Christ. And I'm going to show you how that has been working in one church, that is the Thessalonians. So how they were able to be in Christ. So Colossians is a city close to Ephesus. There was a man called Epaphras. He is reasonable. He was the one in charge of that church, I could say. So he went back to Colossae. He planted the church. He met Paul in Ephesus. So he went back and planted the church. And he was arrested, and he came to Rome, and that's where he met Paul. And Paul asked him, how is your church doing? Paul, Epaphras was a great man. He always had great vision for the church. He always prayed for the church. If you see what he prayed for the church, Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He's always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. He's praying for the church, and he's wrestling for the church. The reason is he wants them to be mature in Christ. He wants them to be fully assured. He wants them that Christ is enough for them. They don't need anything else. They've been a problem in Colossae. Many people are coming, they're saying, oh, I'm able to see these visions, these dreams. We need this, we need circumcision, we need Christ plus church attendance, we need Christ plus baptism, we need Christ plus this. He's saying, let them be fully assured that they got everything in Christ. When people are adding all these kind of things, he got that burden he shared with Paul. So that's why Paul wrote the book of Colossians. And his main theme was to say, Christ is enough for us. We don't need anything else. In the first chapter of Colossians, if you see, he's doing the theological argument there. If you see one by one, we will see verse 9 in chapter 1. Verse 9, second half, I'm reading. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. And if you go to verse 16, for in Him all things were made. Please note the emphasis I'm making on all. He's all-powerful God, and all things have been created by Him. If you see, all things have been created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And if you come down, so that in everything He may have supremacy. So He is the supreme God. He got power about everything. He knows everything. He is all-knowing God. And He is an all-powerful God. And some people, they were coming and spoiling this Colossians by saying, oh, let us teach you a mystery. We will teach you something which you haven't heard before. And he says, Christ in you, the hope of glory, that is the only mystery. You don't need any other mystery. That is the mystery that's been revealed to us. So we'll see that in verse 27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is the mystery. So that's why he says in chapter 2, verse 6, so then, continue to live your lives in him. So it doesn't matter whether we come to church or not. It does matter. I'm saying it doesn't contribute to our salvation. Only point we need to understand here is whether we are in Christ or not. So in India, you see one famous verse, baptism is a ticket to heaven. No, it's not a ticket to heaven. Baptism is not when you go down in the water and come up. No. You put your trust in God, and by faith, you die with him, and you rose again as a new person. That's when you were baptized. So in Christ, you got everything. Even if you have taken baptism in water afterwards as a public declaration of your faith, but you are baptized in Christ when you had faith in him. And there used to be another problem there. We need to be circumcised. He's going to say, we are already circumcised. Because we put our old self off. What is circumcision? You cut something off. So we cut our old self off. We are circumcised. So we got circumcision in Christ. We got baptism in Christ. We got the complete knowledge in Christ. We got full forgiveness in Christ. We are completely forgiven. If you keep reading the Colossians, you see this word again and again. All. Fullness. So you don't need to add anything. You don't need to have faith in God plus be baptized. No. You need to have faith in God plus church attendance. No. You don't need to add anything. It just matters whether you are in Christ or not. So I just want to show you a church who are in Christ. Apostle Paul goes on the Colossians to the chapter 3 and mentions what will be the outworking of us being in Christ. How will a person in Christ be? I want to say being in Christ means growing in Christ. It's not just you step into Christ and that's it. If you are in Christ, you are growing in Christ. Please turn to the next book. That is the 1 Thessalonians and the 2 Thessalonians. I want to show you Thessalonian church as a model. Thessalonian church is a church which has been planted by Paul, and Timothy and Silas were alongside Paul. You're going into the series in the book of Acts, you will come across it in the chapter 15 and 16, where Apostle Paul was in Thessalonica for 3 Sabbaths. That's where the church was planted. And there was a riot that came up, and they said, oh, these guys are against Caesar. They're introducing a new king. So they put him in jail, and Paul has this thinking about them. He wants to be with them. And he writes these letters. He sends Timothy to them to find out, because of this persecution, have they given up on their faith? So Timothy gives him a good idea about what the church is doing. We can find that in the first introduction, in the 1 Thessalonians. I want you to observe 3 stages of this church. Acts chapter 15 and 16, the planting of the church. And the second stage is the writing of the 1 Thessalonians. And the third stage is the writing of the 2 Thessalonians. Okay, 3 stages of the church. The church is planted. There's a season. The 1 Thessalonians is written. And there's a season. And 2 Thessalonians is written. So we can see what is their stage when 1 Thessalonians is written. I'm reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 2, we always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Here, we come to the main things, main focus of what Paul is thanking God for about this church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, only three things last till the end: faith, hope, and love. It doesn't matter if we got money or not. It doesn't matter if we got a good church or not. It doesn't matter if we have a big pastor or not. We don't know who is the pastor of Thessalonians. They are not a big church. They are a very small church. The conditions for them are very hostile. And they've been in severe persecution. And they're not a rich church. They're a very poor church. But one thing Apostle Paul is thanking God for is they're growing, they're doing their work in faith, they're laboring in love, they got hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. But Timothy, when he came back, he got some good news about this church. So that's where Apostle Paul writes this 1 Thessalonians. And in chapter 3, verse 6 onwards, I'm reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. That's where I thought, okay, he got good news about faith and love. What has happened to their hope? Again, someone has been teaching this church, oh, because you're going through these tribulations and trials and this persecution, the day of the Lord is already gone. Maybe the second coming of the Lord has come already. That's why you are suffering all this. And they are shattered. And they stop going to work. That's why in 2 Thessalonians it says, please go to work. Don't stay at home. So that's why he writes chapter 5 and chapter 4 to tell them when the day of the Lord will come, how the day of the Lord will come. So now we come to the planting of the church, writing of the 1 Thessalonians. They've been very good. They're growing in faith. They're growing in grace. They're growing in love. But in the middle, they stumbled a bit in their hope because someone came and spoiled that for them. And if you come down, verse 9 onwards, how can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Thessalonians have faith, but if you come to the third chapter, Apostle Paul is saying there is something lacking in your faith. This doesn't mean lacking in a literal sense. It means there is room for growth. See, Apostle Paul wants the Thessalonian church to grow in their faith, in their love, and in their hope. So he says, I want you to grow in your faith. What is lacking in your faith? You can still have more faith. You can still trust God. You can trust God more. Have your faith been increased? I want you to grow in faith. If you read verse 11, now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. Here he says in verse 12, secondly, I want your love to grow as well. The Thessalonian church had faith, they had love for each other, they are growing in hope. But Apostle Paul in chapter 3 says, that's not enough. You need to grow in faith. I want you to grow in love. I want you to strengthen in hope. So now you can come to 2 Thessalonians. This is the third chapter of the Thessalonian church movement. They are planted. They're doing well. They got faith, hope, and love. Apostle Paul says, that's not enough. You need more. So if you come to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3 onwards, we ought always to thank God for you. What did we see in the first Thessalonians? We always thank God for you. And when we come to the second Thessalonians, we ought to thank God for you. There is a compulsion there. We have nothing but to thank God for you. And rightly so. It is the right thing to do. We can't do anything else but to thank God. Rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more. If you see the time between 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, it might be just 2 to 3 months. Their faith has grown from the writing of the 1 Thessalonians to the writing of the 2 Thessalonians. Their faith has grown very much. He says, your faith is growing more and more. And secondly, the love all of you have for one another is increasing. So they had love before. Apostle Paul said, that's not enough. You need to have more. And when he writes the second Thessalonians, they had more. That's why he is thanking God for what they're having. Verse 4, therefore among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you're enduring. I think these are the great points we need to take to boast about any church. One pastor, he asked me a question, and it stuck in my mind. He asked me, are you growing in grace? Is the church growing in grace? That's why when people say about me, oh, Daniel's got a big church, he got a 400-member church. I don't boast about that. I think, are they growing in faith? Are they growing in love for one another? Are they growing in their hope of our Lord Jesus Christ? If you see verse 5, all this is the evidence that God's judgment is right. And as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. You can see they are suffering. They are enduring persecution and trials. And you can see their hope. Why are they doing it? For the kingdom of God. Okay, we won't be here forever. Our eyes are fixed on heaven. One day we will go there. All this will be gone. So that is how the Thessalonian church has grown. That's why in verse 1, to the church of Thessalonians in God our Father. So Thessalonians is the church who are in God. In God means growing in God. In God means having faith that increases. In God means having love that increases. In God means having a hope that is stronger and stronger, year by year, day by day, month by month. So I want to ask you one thing. How is your faith today compared to last year? Have you grown in faith? And as we all think about each other, how is your love for one another? Is it growing? As the days goes by, as we are in Christ, is our trust in the Lord? Or are we longing more to see God? And again, one pastor, he said, it's also stuck in my mind. Every morning he wakes up. The first thing he does is open his window and see if the Lord has come. What a great expectation to live with. Yeah? Sometimes church growth, it has become numerical for some reason. I think that's how every other company or any other organization, they're counting their success by numbers. But I think we can't count our success with numbers. We can count on these. If our faith is growing, we are winning. If our love for one another is growing, we're doing well. If we are longing to be with our Lord in heaven, we're doing right. I think that's what I want to encourage this church is about. You got his building. Thessalonians haven't got a building. I think the Thessalonian church is smaller than us. They have undergone persecution, which is even more harsh and horrible than what we are going through. But in the midst of that, their faith, their love, and their hope has grown. So you might be in any stage. If you haven't put your trust in the Lord and you haven't come in Christ, this is a great opportunity for you to do that. How do you do that? You just ask him into your life. Put your trust in him. Lord, I believe you. I trust you. I surrender my life to you. And I think many people will be in the second category. If you're already in Christ, are you growing in Christ? Is your faith more than last year? Is your love for one another more today than last year? Is your hope strong? To be absent from this body is to be present with our Lord. That's my favorite verse. The creation itself is groaning for the revealing of his Son's glory, for the day of the Lord, when Jesus comes back. Are we longing for that? Yeah, we have work to do in this world. We want to be here, like Apostle Paul said. But more than this, we want to be there. That's where we want to be. That's what keeps us together. In Hebrews, it says it's like an anchor for our soul. It won't help us to... It'll help us to stay strong and focused on what we're doing. So... yeah, that's what I want to share with us. Have faith in God. Trust him more. Just review your life if you're having more faith in God. Faith is just a trust in the person of Jesus Christ. It doesn't become on, depends on the outcome. Whether outcome it'll serve our end or not, we're still going to trust him because of who he is. And the greatest thing for a church growth is love for one another. And third thing, we are all waiting to go there. Let's close our eyes and let's pray. Yeah, two categories of people. If you haven't committed your life to Christ, this is an opportunity for you to come into Christ. In Christ. There is no other religion which will talk in this way. There is no such thing called in Buddha, in Krishna, in Muhammad. No, no, no. Only Christianity speaks about it. In Christ. That is what becoming a Christian. Christian. Christ in us. We in him. So if you want to do that, just ask Jesus Christ into your life. Now I'm going to talk to the second category of people. I'm going to challenge you and I'm going to encourage you to grow in faith year by year, day by day, season by season. Grow in love for one another and grow in the hope that we will be with our Lord very soon. The day of the Lord will be coming very soon. Jesus Christ said, I'm going to come again. He is coming again. Let's long for that day. Lord, we thank you for this church, Lord, and thank you for this great opportunity which you've given us this day, Lord, to review our spirituality. Lord, church growth, we've been measuring with many things, but we put aside all things, Lord. We come to the real focus. Lord, we want to grow in faith. We want to grow in trust in you, Lord. We want to trust you more than we ever trusted till today. Oh, we want to surrender every area of our life to you. Oh, let your will be done in our lives, Lord. Let your plan be fulfilled in all our churches, in all our lives, in all our families. Lord, I give young people and the kids and next generation to your hands. Let your will be done in their lives. But I pray that the love between the members grow. That they care for each other. That they pray for each other. That their love for each other grow and grow and grow. But finally, Lord, let the hope that we will be with you. Lord, every morning we wake up, let us have an expectation that we want to be with you, Lord. Oh, fill this church with that hope. Fill me with that hope, Lord. Oh, help us to have our eyes fixed on heavenly things, God, not on things of this world. Thank you for speaking to us. Encourage us. Build us in our faith and hope and love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going into the communion service. I'll stay in the book of Colossians, and I'm going to read one verse, chapter 2, and verse 11. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. See, I'm from India. We all don't share our blood relationship as such. But we are all here as a family and a body because we share the blood of Christ. He is in all of us. We are in Him and He is in us. So that's why we are all one in Him. So I just want to think about that. I just want you to think about that. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, he says, we partake in one blood as we are one body. So help us just think about this. Don't think about anything else. Church is not a group of people who are saved and non-saved. No, we do evangelism, we share the gospel with them. But when it comes to the body, it's a group of redeemed people who are in Christ. We are redeemed by the blood of Christ. If you are in Christ, then the person who is sitting next to you is also in Christ. So you both are in Christ together. That's how we become one body. So Jesus said, remember me when you're doing this. So at this moment, let's bow our heads down. Let's shut every idea off. Just focus on just one thought. He asked us to remember Him. Let's remember Him. What His death on the cross has accomplished for us. What His blood has accomplished for us. He has forgiven all our sins. He has brought us all together and made us one body, one family in Christ. So that is what we are celebrating today. Just take a minute just to thank God for His love. Even before we had faith in Him, even when we are sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. Lord, thank you for dying for us on the cross, Lord. Lord, as we partake in your communion today, Lord, as we partake in the same bread, Lord, we declare that we are one body in you. Lord, as we drink the cup, Lord, we remember all your blood that is shed for us on the cross. Thank you for forgiving our sins. Thank you for making us one family. Lord, I pray that you pour your Holy Spirit on us. Strengthen the love between one another. Lord, strengthen our love, Lord. Let this communion service be a very special thing in our lives. Let it bond us together with your love. As we go into it, Lord, we thank you and praise you. We give you thanks for everything you've done in our lives. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Now as the volunteers will bring the elements to you, just take them and yeah. Just be thankful.